Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Kuf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom at the Gemara. The Mishnah had spoken about a case where somebody had asked somebody else to dye his wool, and it came out kor. The Gemara wants to know my kor. What is the definition of kor? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bava Chana. The definition is kalbus. So ask the Gemara, and exactly my kalbus, what does kalbus mean? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Shmuel, Kafra Dudi, that what happened was that the dye that was used to color the wool was the remnants, just the pieces that were left over at the bottom of the pot. So they weren't really quality dye. And because they weren't quality dye, the color that the wool came out with was a very poor color. Tanar Abonim begins the Gemara. The Braisa teaches us Hanoisim Eitzim L'Chorish. If somebody gives wood to a carpenter, Lasmem Kisei, and he was asked to make a chair, Vasmem Safsa, but instead he made a bench, or vice versa, Safsa, he was asked to make a bench, Vasmem Kisei, and he made a chair. Reb Meir Omer, Reb Meir's opinion is Noisloy Demei Eitzim. What he will have to do is just give the value of the wood. Because Reb Meir, as we've learned in the Mishnah on the Sugya, taught us that Reb Meir, and we've learned Reb Meir's opinion previously as well. Reb Meir's opinion is that the gazlan is kind of bishinui, and therefore the gazlan who took this wood and made him into a chair, made the chair is his, and what he now has to give back to the person whom he stole from is the value of the wood that he stole. Rav Yehuda, as we learned in the Mishnah, disagrees, and his opinion is that if the improvement of a bench is worth more than what was spent, then nice yetzia, he gives him the value of the expenses. That's what the person who was stolen from, that's all he'll have to give. But if the expenses are more than the improvement, then all the improvement is worth, then all he would have to give, nice and light as a shvach, all he would have to give him is the value of the improvement. But says the Gemara, Rameya, however, agrees, Shemnos and Eitzim L'Charish, if he gave wood to a carpenter, Lasmem Kisei Noah, to make a nice chair. What he did was, Vasmem Kisei Kar, he made not a nice chair. He was asked to make a Safsul Noah, a nice bench. Vasul Safsul Kar, and he made a bench, which is not nice. That he follows the same formula as Rabbi Yehuda. Im Shvach Yesel Yitzia, Noisle Dume Yitzia, Vem Yitzia Yisera El Shvach, because it's no different than the case that we learned in the Mishnah where he colored the wool in a poor quality. Because this is not considered a shinui, and the entire basis of Rameyer's opinion is based on a shinui, that the gazlan is kind of with a shinui. But here, as we just finished explaining, this is not considered a act of shinui, and since it's not considered a shinui, even Ramey will agree that you have to give back the value. You have to give back the value of what was stolen. Says the Gemara Boilu, but now the Gemara asks the question: Yesh shvach samonim al tzemer, or ain't shvach samonim al tzemer? The Gemara now asks a question: when we color a wool, and now we have the dye on the wool, the Gemara wants to know, is that considered that there's something on the wool? The way Rashi explains the Gemara, that although the dye is obviously visible in the wool, however, perhaps the halacha teaches us that chazusa lav milsehi, appearance is not a significant factor, and therefore the absorbed dye in the wool is no longer considered to be in existence. So says the Gemara. The Gemara drills down. And again, as the Tashbatz points out as well, there is no question that there is nothing substantive in existence once the world is absorbed into the, once the dye is absorbed into the world. The question, as we just said, is the appearance, the chazusa, considered halachically something that to be considered? Says the Gemara, let's try to understand what your question was. Ilema, the gozel samonim, that somebody stole from somebody the ingredients that are used to make a dye, v'dakinu v'tarinu, and he ground them, and he soaked them, v'tzava behen, and then he used them to color a piece of wood. So now there's nothing in existence, or there is something existent. Ask the Gemara, but as we've been learning, somebody who makes a shinui in what he stole certainly becomes the owner of what he stole, and as Ramey just said, certainly has to return what he sold. So the question would be that there would be no question that he would have to pay the value of what he stole. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, the case that we're speaking about is the Gozel Samonim. He stole dye, which is ready-made dye. Vish Tzav Samon Shuriyim, he stole dye, but Tzav Behu, and he used that dye to color whatever the piece of wool. Mai. And now the Gemara's question is, how do we look at the situation? Do we say, Yesvach Samonim Al Gabet Tzemer, that the dye is considered it's still in existence, and therefore the person who was stolen from, Domalei, could say to the Gazlan, Havli sat menoy de shakotenu, you have to return to me what you stole. Adilma, Shemach en shvach tzamonim al gabet tzemer, it doesn't really exist. Domalei, les chogava evlamidi, I don't really have anything that's in existence. So sort of Mashaw asks that the Gemara really should have said, how could there be a Havamina that if somebody stole something, and he should just now say, well, now it's already absorbed into the world, and since it's not now absorbed into the world, I should not be held responsible. The Mashaw says the Gemara could have actually asked this question immediately. But he says, as is the Derech of the Gemara goes with a back and forth until the Gemara comes to an answer. Amri, says the Gemara, they said in the yeshiva, V'in she'en shvach samonim agabet tzeber, if we'll say that chazusa lav milsehi, that is, that just because it shows color, that doesn't mean it's really in existence. Ask the Gemara, mimata amalei leslach gabei v'lamidi, can we assume that you could say that you didn't steal from me? Namely, why can't he say, Havli sam b'noi dev sedinu, you stole from me? Elal hachkis, says the Gemara, the question is like this. If we say, Ein shvach samonim agabet tzemer, that they're not really considered in an existence, or boy shlumilei, and therefore the Gazan would have to pay. He stole something, and now he has to pay for what he stole. Oidilma, do we say, Yesh savach samonim agabet tzemer, the samonim are considered in existence, and because they're considered in existence, the gazlan could always say to the nigzal, "Hamanach kameich, here you have what you stole, shaklinu, and take it. It's still here, and feel free to take it back, and I will have very much similar to the concept that we've learned so many times previously, that he could always say, Harei shalcha lefanecha, says the Gemara. Shaklinu, asked the Gemara, how could the Gazlan possibly say to this person, take back your dye? But my shakle, how could he get back the dye? Says the Gemara, he'll use the detergent. Says the Gemara, what detergent has the ability to do is soften avuri ma'aver. The detergent has the ability to remove the color from the wool. However, the detergent has shavalai ovid. The detergent does not have the ability that he should give back those those ingredients or the dye, that doesn't have, it doesn't have the ability to do this. Says the Gemara, Alachim Ha'iskinen, the way to understand the question, says the Gemara, it's going to Gozal Tzemel, B'sam Ma'anim D'chad. Somebody stole the wool that belonged to somebody and the dye that belonged to that very same person. And then, V'tzave Lahut Tzemer B'hanach Samonim. And then he used that dye to cover that, to color that wool. And now, the Gazlan is giving back that wool. V'komahad Aleinei L'Tzemer. And now he's giving back that wool with the dye on it. And the Gemara's question was, Yeshvach Samonim Agav Tzemer, do we say that that dye exists on the wool? And since the dye exists on the wool, the Gazlan is returning the dye. The Kamahadale Samonim Tzemer, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Idoma, or do we say, Ein Shvach Samonim Agav Tzemer, the dye doesn't really exist. And since the dye no longer exists, but Seven Mahadalei, he's indeed giving back the wool that he stole. However, Samonim Loi Hadalei, he didn't give him back the dye because the dye is no longer in existence. Amri, says the Gemara, why is this a consideration? Typically, the Yakalei Nele Bedame, that he's giving back wool that's colored. Wool that's colored is obviously more, typically, more valuable than wool that's not dyed. So he's giving back what he stole because he gave him back a more expensive piece of wool, says the Gemara. And, of course, the question is, why is this not considered a situation, Tosfos asks, a situation of shinui? He made the wool better. He changed the wool. And aren't we learning that the Gazlan becomes the owner of the wool through Shinui? So the Mashah, in explaining Tosfos, says that if the person from whom it was stolen receives back everything that was stolen, so then even though there was a Kinyan b'Shinui, the Gazlan has fulfilled the Heshev as a Gzela. Says the Gemara, Leitzricha, the question that was being discussed is the Zoltziva. Actually, the price of colored wool dropped. And therefore, the value of the dye and the wool is not equal to what the value of the wool and the dye were equal separately. And what the person who the wool and the dye was stolen from will say, if you had not stolen the dye and colored my wool, I would have a piece of wool, plain wool, which is more valuable than colored wool, or I would use the dye or put away the dye for when the dye is worthwhile. But now that you put the dye on the wool, and the wool doesn't have extra value because it's colored, because there's no interest in colored wool, so now you can't say, well, you gave me back something that covers all of my loss. Vibay Seima. Another way of explaining the Gemara is Kegon Shetzava by Kupa, that he used the dye, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, he used the dye to color a monkey. So the monkey doesn't become more valuable, obviously. A colored monkey is not more valuable than a non-colored monkey. So yes, you can make an argument that a piece of wool will go up in value or if it's colored under typical circumstances. A monkey doesn't go up in value. Others say that Tosfos says that what it meant here was that the color that was used on this wool is a color that's not really valuable. And since it's a color that's not really valuable on this piece of wool, it's not what's in style and not what people wear, that's why it's not considered that he did anything. Another shot that I saw is that he didn't steal the monkey. He just used the monkey to color, just used the dye. So he says, since I didn't steal the monkey and the dye is on your monkey, That's why I didn't really do anything. And the other pshat that Rashi says is not that he colored a monkey, but he colored a wicker basket. And here too, a wicker basket is not really something that has more value, because a wicker basket is not something that gets more value because you color it. And since it doesn't have any more value because you colored it, so that's why the Gemara's question is, you can't say, well, you gave me something that has more value. So our Gemara has been, so it continues the Gemara. Ravina says a different way of explaining the question. The question was, that one person owned the wool and one person owned the dye. The kasa kaif, and a monkey came. It saved the house. Samach behanach samonim. He used the dye to color a piece of wood. So do we say yesh shvach samonim agabet samer? Do we consider the dye still in existence? And therefore, domalei, the person who owns the dye could say to the person who owns the wool, "Give me back my dye." And since he can't, he's going to have to give the value. Or the dye is not really to be considered as if it's really in existence. So the Gemara wants to try, and that's the Gemara's question. So now the question has become a little more focused. Is how does the halacha look at dye that's on a piece of wool? Says the Gemara. The Gemara brings a raya, wants to bring a raya, from Hilchos Orlo. The Tarek Dosha says, "V'kisavoy al oritz, when we come to Tzrov and the Tatum call Eitz Machol, v'raltem erolosso yes piryoy, shol eshonim yilachem arelim, lo ye'echol. Fruits of the first 3 years that have grown, or Orlo may not be eaten, may not have enough from it. Toshma, the Mishnah, in Masechta Orlo, Paragimel Mishnah Aleph teaches us, Beged shetzova beklipe Orlo. If somebody used the peels of orla fruit to dye a garment, yidalek, we have to burn that garment, because as we just said, orla is osmanom. So isn't this clearly an indication, says the Gemara? Alma, this is a proof, the chazusa milsahi, that the dye, is, even though as we learned earlier in the shir, is not really physically, independently in existence, but the fact that it gives color makes it to be in existence. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, when we speak about Hilchos Orlo, there is a new halacha. Hanoah hanir leinayim, any hanoah that person has from appearance, like we're learning here, that it's the garment that was colored, so it's something that is nicer, that the Torah says is also by Orla. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, the pasuk by Orla says that Arelim lo yachol eli esa el achila. So that would teach us that Orla fruit may not be eaten. Menayin shlo yehenu mimenu. How do we know that we can't have any benefit from Orla? That means shlo yitzba bo can't be used to dye a beged. Lo yadbuk basaner can't be used to. The oil of Orla can't be used for lighting the candle. Tamaloima, Veralta Marlosa Aspiria Arelim Lo Yachel. The Rabbis is Kulam. To teach us that you're not going to have any benefit in any way from Orla, including having Hanoah from the Begid. Says that asked Rishonim the obvious question. Now that we have a Pasuk that clearly teaches us that you can't, that the dye on Orla is Osir, shouldn't that be a raya to call a Torah Kula that Chazusa Milsa Nihu? So says the Rabbeinu Peretz that Orla is Isser, and Al Gemara is talking about Mominus, and the halacha is that we can't learn Hilchas Mominus from Hilchas Isurim. Toshma, so ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, the pasuk says, "Beged shetzava bil klipei shviyas." The Brisa teaches us if somebody used the peels of Shvi'is fruit for dyeing his garment, Yadalik. After the time that you have to get rid of all Shemitah produce, you have to get rid of this. So you see again that it's considered in existence. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Da Makra, there's a special pasuk that the halach to teach us that Tia, the pasuk says, Ki yovel hi kodesh tia lechem min asada toichles tovasai, bav yasa tehei, to teach us that it's usur under all circumstances. So we see from here, halacha da chazusa milsa, says the Gemara, Rava Rami, answers the Gemara, Rava asked the question. But before we get to the question, so now the Gemara has introduced a very important concept. And that is the concept, do we say chazusa milsahi, or do we not say chazusa milsahi? And this has repercussions in many different areas of halacha. One halacha I saw is the Shalos HaTshuvos HaElef Lecha Shleima from Shleima Kluge was asked if somebody wants to color the schach of his schach, would there be any problem? Because we know that the Torah is very specific in what type of material may be used for schach, psoilus gerin v'yakef, and the dye is not psoilus gerin v'yakef. So at first glance, he wants to say that it depends on chazusa milsahi or not chazusa milsahi. But then he says, the problem would be if it was something independent and it's not kosher for schach. It doesn't become independent, and therefore it should not be a problem. The Shalos HaTshuvos Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Beis, Simon Chav Ches, speaks about a case of somebody has a lulav, and it's an older lulav, and it got discolored. And the question that he discusses is, can you take a lulav and color it? Would that be considered adding to the lulav, and we have to have only the dalaminim, nothing else? So he says that certainly if we hold chazusa milsa la milsahi, that we really don't give significant consideration to color, it would not be a question. But then he says that even if we hold chazusa milsahi, at the end of the day, this is a lulav. And since at the end of the day it's a lulav, even though the lulav was colored, it doesn't change that this is still a lulav and it would not be disqualified. What would be the halacha if I saw that the Paiskim discuss? We know that non-kosher wine is, of course, serious isser. But what would be the halacha if somebody took a drop of non-kosher wine and put it into water? So in far as taste, it doesn't give any taste, but gives a color. And now this food is being colored by non-kosher wine. What would be the halacha? So the Pri Chodesh says that since our Gemara has not really determined what is the halacha about chazusa milsahi olai, so therefore he suggests that by Doraisa we have to be machmer and say that we can't benefit in any way from chazusa. But if it's by Shaila of the Rabbanon, we could be more lenient. But the Michas Yaakov and the Pri Har Toyar say that the issue of chazusa milsa is in the situation that our Gemara is speaking about being obligated to pay for the chazusa regarding Isser Orla, Isser Shmita, which are Issurei Daraisa, and our Issurei Hano. But when we're talking about something which is a Isser, which is not an Isser Hano, Stam Yenom is not an Isser Hano. And since Stam Yenom is not an Isser Hano, that's why it would not be a problem, it would certainly be mutter. Which opens up a very interesting halachic question, which already is discussed in the Sefer Mayam Lawyers and Parshas Truma. In Parshas Truma, where the Torah speaks about the kelim of the Mishkan and the begadim of the Mishkan, the question that is discussed is what would be the halacha regarding color, which is used today still, called carmine. And the carmine comes from a beetle. And the beetle is obviously a non-kosher insect, which is left out to dry. And then the blood of that dried beetle is used for food coloring. And the question is, what would be the kashrus of such a food with carmine? Rav Ozna Zatzal and the Shailos HaTshuvos, Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Ches, Simen, Kuf Pei Dalet discusses the question. And he takes a different approach. He says, he combines a number of considerations. One consideration, he says, is that, as we mentioned, that the process of making carmine involves drawing the blood. It goes through a very serious chemical process. And he says, since it goes through a very serious chemical process, and it also is only used for coloring, and we come back to the question of chazusa milsa, chazusa la milsa. And here we're learning that there are opinions that chazusa la milsa, and we just finished saying when it's issa drabana, we could be more makel. He says that the halacha technically is that it should be mutter, but then he says it should not be used. And he says that whenever we're speaking about kashrus, there's the consideration of metamtem esalev. And therefore this, even though we can make strong arguments that it can be used, we should not use it. There's a similar tshuva in the Shailos HaTshuvos Menchas Yitzchak, Chelek Gimel Siman Tzadik Vav, where again he speaks about it, and he says that especially if the insect was left to dry for 12 months, if it was left to dry for 12 months, it halacha makes it be considered a kafra ba'alma. So that's a consideration. But again, he says that even though there can be strong halachic considerations why it should be allowed to be used, he says it should not be used. So now says the Gemara, Rava Rami. Rava asked the following question. Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Orla, Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph, teaches us, Beged Shetzavai B'Klipi Orla, if somebody dyed a garment with the peels of Orla fruit, you dull it. It should be burnt. Isn't this clearly an indication? Says the Gemara, Alma Chazusa Milsihi, that the color is significant. Rimini asked the Gemara, the Mishnah teaches us regarding Tumas Mace. And the halacha is that the Revi'is Tam of a mace has all of the halacha of a mace. And when we say it has all of the halacha of a mace, it's metama, and it's metama ba'oil. And the question is, shenivla b'bayis, it got absorbed in the ground of a home, the bayis tamei, the house is tamei. Everything that's in the house, everything that's in the house is tamei. But the house itself and the ground itself are actually not tamei, because karka and anything mechubel karka is not mekabel tuma. V'amrilei, but there's a different version that says bayis tahor. So how do we reconcile these two brises? We say v'loy pligi, there's actually no disagreement. Ha, the kelim davim mikara. The kelim that were there in the home before the blood got absorbed into the ground. So there was a revi'is tam in the house. So since there was a revi'is tam in the house, anything that's in the house becomes tamei. However, ha, b'kelim, the dosel psoif, but the kelim that were brought into the home after the blood got absorbed into the ground, so there is no revi'is tam to be metama, they're not going to be tamei. Continues, nivla b'ksus, if the dam got absorbed into a garment, royim. We have to do the following test. If through washing this garment, a revi'is tam will come out, and how will we be able to do this test? We'll know how much water was used, and we'll see how much liquid comes out. So we started, let's say, with a revius of water. And now when we finish washing, we have two revi'asin of liquid. We know that we have a revi'as tam. If not, there is no revi'as tam. V'mlav, but if that didn't come out, tahira. So we see that the dam that's absorbed into the garment is not considered in existence. Amrav kahana, mekuhulei revi'as shanakan. This is a special halacha, b'dam tavus d'rabbanan. We're speaking about a case here where the revi'as tam came out of a person who was murdered. And the question is, when did this tam come out of this individual? Did this dam come out of this individual while he was still alive? And if dam came out from the individual and he's still alive, it's namatama. Or did the dam come out after he already was nifter and the dam is tame? So the halacha is the midaraisa such dam, which is called dam tavusa, and not is not tame midaraisa. It's only tame midrabanan. So since it's only tame midrabanan, that's why we're lenient. But doesn't really answer or speak to the question about chazusa. Rava asked the following question. Tanan, the Mishnah, the Masechta Shviyas, teaches us that Kedusha Shviyas applies to anything that was meant to be eaten by people or animals. These are the following ingredients that used for dyeing that Shviyas applies to them. Svichei Stis, the dye that comes out of the stis herb, the kaitza, it's a type of a grass, yeshlam shvius, they are considered that they have kedusha shvius, and moreover, yeshlam beer. The halacha is that perish shvius, once that fruit is no longer available in the field for animals, must be burnt. And the halacha is that they have all of the halachas shvius, and that even if that was exchanged, if these ingredients were exchanged for money, the money has kedusha shvius, and therefore, when there's no, it's not yet the zman beer, the money has to be used with kedusha shvius, and once it's the zman beer, the domain beer, the money has to be burnt. Alma, so we see that eitzim, that it's plain wood, yesh bem kedusha shvius. Vermini, but ask the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, ali kanav ali gefonim, should give him bechava play a soda. If somebody collected leaves and branches, the halach is as follows. Lakdim lachila, if they were gathered for the purpose of eating, yeshvem shvius, kedusha shvius. However, if they were gathered le'etzim, if they were gathered to be used as wood, ein bem kedusha shvius, they don't have kedusha shvius. So we see that only something that was meant to be eaten has kedusha shvius, not anything else. And Mishani says the Gemara Ravi answered Amakra, the pasuk by shvius says, "V'hoisa Shabbos l'ha'aris l'chem la'ochla." So we see a new din here, that when the shvius applies on foods that bish. What is the characteristic of describing a food? When you eat a food, as you're consuming the food, you're enjoying the food. Hanaso biyarin shavin. Yatsa eitza, when we speak about wood, shehanosnu acha biurim. You burn the wood, and only after you burn the wood, it starts to give off heat. And therefore, it's not considered kedusha shvius. And however, something which is used for dye, so that's why something that's used for burning doesn't have kedusha shvius, but something that's used for dyeing does have kedusha shvius. Says the Gemara, for ik eitzim the mashkan, wood that's used to light, to give off light, that nosabirim shavim, as they're burning, you have the light. Answers the Gemara, amarava stam eitzim, yes, if you have wood that was used to give light, so indeed the halacha would be that they have kedusha shvius, because they have the same characteristics as food. Here we're talking about wood, but normally in those days, wood wasn't used for that purpose. In those days, wood was used lasaka, for firewood. And when we speak about firewood, there you don't have hanasa ubi ure shava. And since you don't have hanasa ubiyur shava shvius. It's not considered l'achla, and shvius wouldn't apply to them. Once we learn these halachas about to what shvius does apply and to what shvius doesn't apply, it opens up many different questions. One question is, we spoke earlier in the shir about Arla, and we spoke about Arla being Asa Bahana. And the question is, if you have flowers or flowers that give off a nice fragrance, are you allowed to use those flowers, or are you allowed to use the besamim that are used that are Arla? So the Pri Chadash says that if the psamim, the flower, are meant to be eaten, there would be a problem of shvius. But if they're not to be meant to, of arla, if they're not meant to be eaten, there is no problem of arla. And the Pri Toyar disagrees, and he says that there's a problem of psamim of arla. Says the Ratvaz, it depends. If something was meant to be used for eating, and even though you didn't use it for eating, there's going to be arla on it. But something that was never meant to be eaten, there is no arla. And then I saw that there's a question that was posed to the Klozim Rebbe in the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Yatziv, Chelik Yerideya, Simon Reish Yud Dalid. What would be the halacha regarding tobacco? What would be regarding the halacha of tobacco? Is there kedusha shvius on tobacco? Now, the question was asked because we're learning now that the determining factor when we speak about shvius is hanasai ubeure shava, that you have hana as you consume this food. And the question that was asked to the Klaus Magrebe Zatzal is smoking considered Hanasoi Uburu Shava? If it's considered Hanasoi Uburu Shava, it would be a concern. If it's not Hanasoi Uburu Shava, it would not be concerned. And the reason he speaks about it, he says, is because are we going to say that smoking a cigarette is similar to lighting a candle? And the Gemara that we just finished learning says that a candle does have, that's used for lighting, has Kedusha Shvius. So he says that you can't compare cigarette smoking to a candle that's used to give off light. He says that the hana that you get from a cigarette is not from the actual burning tobacco. It's from the smoke that comes out after the tobacco is burnt. And since it's from the smoke that comes out after the tobacco is burnt, it's not considered hanasoi ubiure shava. Then he says the purpose, he says that since we know that smoking cigarettes is so unhealthy, we can't call that a hana. The Gemara has been describing, says the Klaus Magareba, hanasoi ubiure shava, that you have hana. How could this be considered a hana? It's not, if something is so dangerous, it cannot be considered a hana. And then he says a third point. He says when somebody eats a shvius fruit, or somebody uses shvius oil to make light, so we're having hana from the actual shvius product. Here, says the Klaus Magareba, the way one who smokes has hana from smoking is not that the actual smoke is what gives you the pleasure. He says when that smoke enters the body, it causes somehow a chemical reaction in the body that the body should have this good feeling, if you consider that a good feeling. And therefore, the halacha, says the Klaus Magareba, is that you can't smoke with shvius tobacco. Then the question is that we're learning in our Gemara La'achla that what you're supposed to do with Shemitah Peiris is use it for eating with the conditions that are there. So the question that needs to be discussed is, can Shemitah fruit, you have a Shemitah Esrog, for example, or the Shemitah fruit, can they be hung in the sukkah for nice sukkah? Particularly since there's halacha that mitzvah lav lahenis netnu, so we're not really having hanah. Is it considered that you're having hanah or not? And it seems that is the opinion of most paiskim, Mechas Yitzchak, Rav Ozner, Stipler, are all of the opinion that it's not usur and it can be used for no sukkah. But Rabbi Yashiv adds a very interesting condition. He says that the aloch of no sukkah is that no sukkah are hooked to the mitzvah. They're designated to be used only for the mitzvah. But here, no sukkah, Shvi's fruit, as we're learning, are supposed to be used for eating. So therefore, Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal suggested, and somebody, if he's hanging up fruit in his sukkah for noy sukkah, so the Klaus Magareba suggested that what the person should be careful to do is not be maxed and say, not that I'm designating it specifically for noy sukkah, I'm still leaving it that it should be able to be used for food to be eaten. If I'm leaving it in that way, that it could be used for food to be eaten, so then it's still lochla, and there certainly then wouldn't be a problem of using Shemitah produce for Shemitah fruit for Noi Sukkah.